The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various websites and resources, starting with content.govdelivery.com, Specialized Recreation and Inclusion Services Newsletter. Having trouble viewing this email? View it as a webpage. Summer camp registration. Summer camp online registration will be staggered by location February 16 to 18, beginning at 6:30 a.m. each day. Starting with Monday, February 16, Camp Exploration at Marsh Creek, Camp Friendly at Durant Nature Preserve. Starting Tuesday, February 17, Limitless Teens Camp at Eastgate Park. Starting Wednesday, February 18, Camp Friendly at Carolina Pines. Intro to Braille, first and third Saturday of the month, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Join our inclusive Braille class at the JC Community Center, designed for people with and without visual impairments. Open to ages 5 and up and free of charge, this class introduces the basics of Braille reading and writing, explores accessibility tools, and builds skills that support communication and independence. All are welcome. Community Connection, Wednesday, February 25th, 2026, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Community Connection brings participants and families together to talk about specialized recreation and inclusion services. These conversations help us understand community needs and guide the development of current and future programs. Join us for refreshments, dessert, and meaningful conversation, and help shape future programs. This program is free to attend, but registration is required. Outing, NC Symphony, Star Wars, and more. Saturday, March 28th, 2026, from noon to 2:45 p.m. May the Force be with you. Travel to galaxies far, far away as the symphony performs your favorite music from across the Star Wars universe and more at May Mandy Concert Hall in Raleigh. Spring Break Camp, Monday, March 30 to Thursday, April 2, 2026, 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. SRIS Spring Break Camps offer a fun, supportive place for kids, teens, and young adults with disabilities to stay active and connected during the break. Friendly Spring Break Camp is for children ages 6 to 12, while Exploration Spring Break Camp is designed for teens and young adults ages 13 to 21. Both camps will take place at Marsh Creek Community Center and include a mix of sports, creative arts, outdoor activities, games, and field trips that meet campers where they are and help them build skills, friendships, and confidence. Registration deadline is Monday, February 23rd. Spring Fling Dance, Friday, April 10, 2026, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Join SRIS for our annual Spring Fling Dance at JC Community Center. This event is open to individuals ages 16 and up. Celebrate the season with spring colors, floral vibes, and music from a DJ. Guests are encouraged to dress casually and embrace the Spring Fling 3 theme. Light snacks and refreshments will be provided. Pre-registration is strongly encouraged. Cost is $5, with cash-only payment accepted at the door. Outing, the Special Theater Arts of Raleigh, STAR. Saturday, April 25th, 2026, from 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m., join SRIS for a wonderful evening of theater and community. We'll gather at the JC Community Center and head together to Keenan Hall at William Peace University to enjoy the musical review of the P.T. Barnum Circus, presented by the Special Theater Arts of Raleigh, STAR. Come share the excitement, talent, and joy of live performance. Year-round programs. In addition to our seasonal programs and special events, SRIS offers a variety of fun activities throughout the year. Join us for bingo, bowling, karaoke, cooking, game night, and crafting corner. These ongoing programs are a great way to stay connected, try something new, and have fun all year long. We welcome participants to join any time. Online registration for summer programs begins March 17, 2026. Please browse the Raleigh Parks Leisure Leisure for more program information. If you have any questions, please call 919-996-2147 or email sris@raleighnc.gov. Learn more at parks.raleighnc.gov. NFB.org. Prepare for National Convention. The NFB National Convention is coming soon. Start planning your trip by booking a hotel room in Austin, Texas. The NFB National Convention is the largest gathering of blind people in the world. It is the premier event for training, support, and information for the blind community. It also serves as a governing body, democratically electing our leadership and establishing each year's organizational priorities. 2026 Convention, July 3 through July 8, 2026, JW Marriott, Austin, 110 East 2nd Street, Austin, Texas, 78701, Austin, Texas. Hotel reservations. The JW Marriott Austin will serve as our headquarters hotel and space for all convention events. The Austin Marriott Downtown will provide overflow space. Call 800-627-7468 to book your room. Specify either the JW Marriott or the Austin Marriott Downtown along with our room block code BL1 to ensure you receive our convention roommate. Rates and taxes. Our 2026 convention hotel rate is $139 per night for singles and doubles. Triples and quads are available for $155 per night. Sales tax and a tourism fee total a combined 19%. Deposit and cancellation. For each room you book, the hotel requires a deposit of the first night's room rate. Taxes and fees payable by credit card or a personal check. If you use a credit card, the deposit will be charged immediately. If a reservation is canceled before Sunday, June 1st, 2026, half of the deposit will be returned. Refunds will not be issued after that date. About the hotel. Both hotels offer a number of dining options, 24/7 fitness centers, and rooftop pools with cabana rentals. The hotels are in the heart of downtown Austin, surrounded by local restaurants and shops. A few blocks south, walking trails line the section of the Colorado River known as Lady Bird Lake. Convention schedule. The 2026 convention of the National Federation of the Blind will be an exciting and memorable event with an unparalleled program and renewed dedication to the goals and work of our movement. A wide range of seminars for parents of blind children, technology enthusiasts, job seekers, and other groups will kick off the week off on Friday, July 3rd. Convention registration and registration packet pickup will also open on Friday. Breakout sessions continue Saturday, July 4th, along with committee meetings. Sunday, July 5th, begins with the annual meeting, open to all, of the Board of Directors of the National Federation of the Blind. National Division meetings will follow that afternoon and evening. General Convention sessions will begin on Monday, July 6th, and continue through the afternoon of Wednesday, July 8th. Convention ends on a high note with the banquet Wednesday evening, so be sure to pack your fancy clothes. The fall of the gavel at the close of the banquet will signal convention's adjournment. First-time attendees. If you or your members in your chapter will be first-time attendees, please learn all about convention in the First-Timers Guide hot link. Articles from first-time experiences. Writing Our Own Histories, Aaron Faxon's Federation Story. His name is spelled A-R-R-O-N-F-A-X-O-N. Impressions of My First National Convention. Advice to the Rookies from a Rookie. All of those are hot links to their articles. Kenneth Jernigan Convention Scholarship. The Kenneth Jernigan Convention Scholarship Hotlink provides funding support to the National Federation of the Blind members who want to attend a national convention for the first time. The Kenneth Jernigan Convention Scholarship application is now open. Application deadline is April 15, 2026. More information. Stay tuned for more details regarding the 2026 convention. If you have questions, please contact us at 410-659-9314 or email nfb at nfb.org. From disabilityrightsnc.org, the case for retiring the R-word. Published February 9, 2026. Words shape how we see one another. When we use the term casually, we also normalize the attitudes behind it. The word retarded has a long history of being used to demean and exclude people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, I/DD. In past decades, the term was used so broadly that it often went well beyond IDD and included people with speech impediments, facial paralysis, brain injuries, and even dementia. Injured veterans, including those with head wounds who heard the slur, joined the disability movement when they experienced discrimination and labeling. Even when the word is said as a joke or insult with no specific target in mind, it carries that history and harm and reflects poorly on the user. Language evolves as our understanding grows. What was once considered a medical diagnostic term has become an offensive slur because of how it's been weaponized, used to belittle, mock, and reduce people to a stereotype. Returning to common use of the term in 2026, even under the guise of a tease or a joke, signals that those experiences don't matter and that some people's dignity is inconsequential. Ending the R-word has nothing to do with being too sensitive or limiting free speech. It's about choosing accuracy and awareness. There are countless alternatives that communicate frustration or criticism without punching down. Words like ridiculous, uninformed, or nonsensical say what you mean without hurting others or communicating ignorance. Life is challenging enough for people with disabilities. Words matter. How we talk about disability impacts how disabled people are treated. Respectful language creates communities where people feel valued and safe. Choosing better words is a small change with a big impact. If we care about basic human decency, retiring the R-word is an easy and important place to start. From fightingblindness.org, Foundation Fighting Blindness welcomes two blind brothers as presenting sponsor and announces Visionary Award honorees for the 2026 New York Night for Sight Gala. Dateline Columbia, Maryland, February 3, 2026. The Foundation Fighting Blindness, the driving force in the global development of treatments and cures for blinding diseases, will host its annual Night for Sight Gala on Thursday, May 14, 2026 at Guastivino's in New York City. This year, the foundation is proud to welcome two blind brothers as the presenting sponsor of the New York Night for Sight. Founded in 2016 by brothers Bradford Manning and Brian Manning, both diagnosed with Stargardt disease, Two Blind Brothers has become the largest grassroots organization serving the blind community with over 500,000 supporters. As of 2025, Two Blind Brothers is a nonprofit focused on blindness education and awareness through media and experiences. Some of their breakthrough campaigns include the Viral Shop Blind Challenge, co-designing uniforms for the French Paralympic team, and launching the nation's largest charity-branded optical eyewear collection with L'Amy America. To date, Two Blind Brothers has also donated nearly $2 million to the Foundation Fighting Blindness. We launched Two Blind Brothers at this exact event 10 years ago. The Foundation Fighting Blindness has been the defining partner in our journey, said Bradford Manning and Brian Manning, co-founders of Two Blind Brothers. It's a gift to us, for us to be back at this event 10 years later, celebrating and supporting Night for Sight, alongside the researchers, families, and advocates working tirelessly to drive real progress for the low vision community. The prestigious Visionary Award will go to Joe Fantozzi, F-A-N-T-O-Z-Z-I, President and Chief Operating Officer of Allegiance Retail Services, Cameron Taylor, Managing Director, Global Health Care Investment Banking, Life Sciences, B of A, Securities, Bank of America Securities, and the premier network of private practice optometrists, Vision Source. The Foundation Fighting Blindness recognizes these honorees for their exemplary values, visionary leadership, and philanthropic impact on the community, aligning with the Foundation's core values and mission. The signature fundraising event brings together leaders from the fashion, food, and finance industries to support the Foundation's mission of moving treatments from the laboratory to the patients who need them most. Through Night for Sight and similar events, the foundation has helped translate community support into real-world impact, funding critical research, advancing promising therapies, and increasing public awareness. With nearly 50 potential treatments currently in clinical trials, the need to advance this research remains urgent. Attendees will include corporate sponsors, community members, and dedicated supporters who will enjoy a gourmet dinner, cocktail reception, a silent auction, and live entertainment, while helping raise funds to support this critical work. Night for Sight is a powerful reminder of what's possible when leaders across various industries and communities come together in support of an important mission, said Jason Menzo, M-E-N-Z-O, CEO of Foundation Fighting Blindness. We are grateful to Two Blind Brothers, our honorees, and all of our partners who share our commitment to accelerating treatments and cures for blinding diseases. For tickets and sponsorship information, visit give.fightingblindness.org/New York Night for Sight or contact Sarah Greulich, G-R-E-U-L-I-C-H, at S-G-R-E-U-L-I-C-H, at fightingblindness.org, or call 917-746-3664. Event details, New York Night for Sight, Thursday, May 14, 2026, 5:30 p.m. reception, 7 p.m. dinner program. Guastavinos, that's G-U-A-S-T-A-V-I-N-O apostrophe S, 409 East 59th Street, New York City. About the Foundation Fighting Blindness. Established in 1971, the Foundation Fighting Blindness is the driving force in the global development of treatments and cures for blinding diseases. The Foundation has raised more than $996 million toward its mission of accelerating research that will provide preventions, treatments, and cures for people affected by retinitis pigmentosa, Usher syndrome, Stargardt disease, Leber congenital amaurosis, age-related macular degeneration, and the spectrum of retinal degenerative diseases. Visit fightingblindness.org for more information. About Two Blind Brothers. Two Blind Brothers was founded by brothers Bradford Manning and Brian Manning, who were both diagnosed with an eye disease that causes progressive blindness. The nonprofit focuses on blindness education through media and experiences. Its programs include the Shop Blind Challenge, Braille Accessible Clothing, and funding research through Foundation Fighting Blindness. Visit twoblindbrothers.com for more information. From give.fightingblindness.org, there's a little story on YouTube, an interview with Rob, a passionate golfer who's been navigating life with AMD and geographic atrophy, GA, since 2013. At first, Rob's AMD diagnosis was a minor inconvenience, but in more recent years, his condition has progressed, significantly impacting his ability to read, watch TV, drive, and enjoy golf like he used to. It's very important to me to know that I'm not alone with this disease, says Rob. When I was first diagnosed, I felt like the loneliest person in the world. But since then, through groups like the Foundation Fighting Blindness and even Facebook groups, it's just really nice to know you're not alone. Living in the northern suburbs of Chicago, Rob relies on ride shares for transportation to doctor's appointments and other activities. And over the years, he's built a community of supporters, including his friends and neighbors, who provide invaluable help from giving him rides to taking him grocery shopping every Saturday. A couple of years after his initial diagnosis, Rob learned he had GA, a more progressed form of AMD. This revelation motivated him to research treatment options and take control of his journey in any way he could. Rob strongly believes the importance of being proactive and exploring available treatments, including clinical trials and drugs that can slow the progression of GA. This AMD and Low Vision Awareness Month, every gift you give doubles to accelerate research, advancing treatments and cures for people like Rob. Thank you for supporting our mission this month and beyond. And there's, of course, a plea for donations with a double match, 2X match for AMD. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is a qualified 501c3 nonprofit organization, and all donations are tax deductible to the extent of IRS regulations. EIN 23-713-5845. Please keep your receipt as your official record. We'll email it to you upon successful completion of your donation. Tribute donation, If you're dedicating your gift to someone else, please include their contact information so we can send them a thoughtful acknowledgement on your behalf. Check donation. Checks made payable to Foundation Fighting Blindness may be mailed to P.O. Box 45740, Baltimore, Maryland 21297-5740. International donation. Through our partnership with Chapel and York, international donors can take advantages of tax benefits for gifts made within Canada, Switzerland, and the United Kingdom. Just click those hot links. Match disclaimer. All donations received will be matched dollar for dollar until a specific match fund is exhausted. Monthly gifts will be matched for the first monthly installment only. Only gifts made at the web address linked within each dedicated match campaigns will be eligible for matching. Please note that Vision Walk donations, event gifts, and other pledges are not eligible. Foundation Fighting Blindness, P.O. Box 45740, Baltimore, Maryland 21297-5740, USA. Donor support, info at fightingblindness.org, 1-800-683-5555. From NorthCarolinaHealthNews.org, surprise, your health care provider added a fee for that questionnaire you filled out. Novant Health is among a growing number of healthcare systems now charging patients for self-administered surveys that screen for problems. Patients say they should not be billed for checking a few boxes. Article by Michelle Crouch and published in the Charlotte Ledger, December 8, 2025. Co-published with the Charlotte Ledger. When Steve Hardman of Charlotte checked in to see a Novant Health sleep doctor earlier, the receptionist handed him a survey to fill out. Hardman, 66, had seen the questions before. Do you feel safe in your house? Can you afford food? He spent a few minutes checking off the answers and handed the form back to the front desk. A few weeks later, the bill arrived, and it included an extra $8 fee he hadn't seen before. Thinking it must be a mistake, Hardman called Novant's billing office. The billing representative told him the fee was connected to that questionnaire he had completed. Hardman was shocked, especially since no one at Novant had talked to him about the survey or his responses. You are asking people if they feel safe, if they can afford food, then you charge them, he said. In what world does that actually make sense? He said it sounded like a strategy to boost revenue. It's only a small amount, but you multiply that by I don't know how many patients, probably millions every year, and that's a nice add to the bottom line. A national trend. Across the country, hospitals have started charging for self-administered questionnaires, brief surveys that screen for depression, food insecurity, domestic violence, or other risks, said Caitlin Donovan, senior director at the Patient Advocate Foundation, a patient's rights nonprofit. The screenings are supposed to flag patients who need extra support, but many people don't learn about any potential fees until the bill arrives. Donovan said she has talked to patients from multiple states, frustrated that they were billed for checking a few boxes. She said it's part of a broader billing trend her organization has noticed of healthcare systems billing for items that used to be included in the visit, whether it's a facility fee or a charge for messaging your doctor. Those are hot links. They're screening for mental health and safety, and that's incredibly important, but it should be part of the fee for the visit, not an add-on, Donovan said. They know if it's a small enough amount, most people will probably just pay it. Novant surveys help patients. When asked about the charges, a Novant Health spokesperson said in an email that the survey asking about safety, housing, and food security became a billable service in 2024. Social determinants of health assessments uncover non-medical factors affecting well-being, connecting patients to social workers, community health workers, and local resources as appropriate, she wrote. For example, she explained patients facing food insecurity are connected to food resources, and if it's urgent, provided with an emergency pack that includes a four-day supply of food. To date, Novant Health has provided nearly 16,000 emergency food packs, according to the email. The hospital said most insurance providers cover the assessment, and the majority of patients pay between $5 and $10. UNC Health and Cone Health do similar screenings, but do not charge separately for them, according to spokespeople at each hospital. Other North Carolina healthcare systems queried by the Charlotte Ledger and C Health News did not respond in time for publication. Different types of assessments. After Hardman posted about his experience on the Nextdoor site, more than 153 people commented, including some with similar experiences. I was billed by them as well, one woman wrote. They charged my insurance company for their part and me the balance. Another shared a photo of a bill with a $17 fee and said, they just ask the standard questions. Are you depressed? Have you had suicidal feelings? She said. And all of a sudden, there's a charge for it without any warning. Donovan said providers can bill for several different types of assessments. Some screen for so-called social determinants of health, like food and housing insecurity. Others screen for mental health problems, like depression or anxiety. Research shows mental health screening surveys can lead to earlier detection of mental health issues and more timely interventions. A 2022 study published in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry found that routine use of brief screenings in primary care settings increased the identification of depression and anxiety disorders by 35%, leading to faster treatment initiation and improved outcomes. Novant said in a statement that its emotional health assessment plays a key role in identifying early signs of emotional or mental health concerns, allowing for timely support and intervention. Nearly 27% of patients who take the assessment screen positive for a mental health condition, the hospital said, underscoring the importance of the screening and the care team's follow-up. How was I supposed to know about the charge? Heidi Bass, 59, of Charlotte, agrees the screenings are valuable, but she said what's missing is transparency. She said she discovered a $17 charge for a brief emotional and behavioral health assessment only after clicking through several screens to get a detailed breakdown of the bill for her annual physical at Novant earlier this year. When she called to ask what the fee was for, she talked to several employees before one finally told her it was tied to the questionnaire she completed during the online check-in process. When I protested, they said, "You don't have to fill it out." But how was I supposed to know about the charge, she said. In no other situations do we do something and only find out afterwards how much it costs. Some insurers won't pay. Medical billing expert Adria Gross, CEO of New York-based MedWise Insurance Advocacy, said Medicare and Medicaid typically cover the cost for the screenings, but some commercial insurers may decline to pay a separate fee because they expect such screenings to be bundled into the overall visit charge, she said, which means the additional cost would get passed along to the patient. Insurers will also deny payment if the screening is done too often or without documentation that someone reviewed the results, she said. It really varies from policy to policy. Patients with high-deductible commercial insurance plans may also have to pay out of pocket if they haven't yet met their deductible. Gross recommends that patients review their bills, question charges they don't understand, and ask for any they disagree with to be waived. That's what Hardman did, and he said Novant dropped the fee once he disputed it. He already has a plan, he said. If a receptionist tries to hand him a survey at future appointments, I'll just decline it. This article is part of a partnership between the Charlotte Ledger and North Carolina Health News to produce original health care reporting. You can support this effort with a tax-deductible donation. That wraps up this week's episode of Vision News. I hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I hope your Valentine's Day was wonderful.